Welcome to Hey YA. From great new books to favorite classic reads, news stories to the latest in on-screen adaptations, Hey YA is here to elevate the exciting world of young adult lit. Hey YA is a book rant podcast hosted by Erica Azzafetti and me, Tirza Price. And we are recording this on November 2nd. Hello, Erica. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am great. You know, it's pretty chill here. Like, chill is in very cold. We had like cold. 4 inches of snow on Halloween. So haven't had a snowy Halloween in a while. So I'm feeling like the hard shift into winter and the holidays.
Wow. So your environment was like the retailers these days where it's like, actually we're starting Christmas on October 31st.
You're welcome. Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. That's rude.
And like earlier on Halloween, like earlier in the day, it was really bright. It was sunny. Yeah. It was beautiful. I was like taking my dog for the walk in the park and like all the leaves were falling. And I was like, this is such a nice day. And literally by like 3 o'clock that afternoon, we had like 3 inches of snow already. And it was just coming down. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
That is so, it doesn't fit for Halloween. I should have figured that y'all would get snow because it was cold over here. So
yes.
It's like cold. Like, ooh, I like a little crisp breeze, little crisp fall breeze. And I was like, oh yeah, let me go get my sweater. But it was more, it was jacket. Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah, okay, it was enough to make me go, oh crap, I don't remember which box I packed away like all of my winter gloves and hats in. And now I'm going to have to go dig those out. It's a bit much, but like it feels very on point that we are now going to be discussing our topic, which is like winter survival kit. Which I love. So we're gonna do something a little bit different this episode, mm-hmm. where we're just gonna talk about like all the things that we love for cozy winter book reading, entertainment, self-care essentials. And mm-hmm. so yeah, I'm excited to hear about that. I'm excited to get some tips from you, and it feels like this is going to be more relevant than ever because of how cold it is already.
Oh my gosh, perfect timing. Yes, this is a super exciting episode just to switch things up and hear about other aspects of bookishness that are like tangentially bookish but still kind of related. Because I'm like, a lot of these foods and things I eat while reading and like you said, self-care and all that stuff is especially important during the winter months, lest you go around ashy.
Right.
Ashy.
Or depressed from like the lack of sunlight.
The sunlight. Yeah. That's actually a better point than what I said. Don't have dry skin, Erica. And Tears is like, work on your mental health and take care of yourself.
Yes, but like honestly, they're all connected. Because if I have dry skin and it's cold and I look, then I'm sad. So
facts. Yeah.
All right.
Nice save. Thank you.
Right. Okay, but before we get into that, we have a few housekeeping things and a word from our sponsor. So let's hear from our first sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang. So this is an interesting love story. It's great for fans of Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow and High Fidelity. It's set in the mid-90s at NYU. And it follows young Wang, who has gotten the advice of love through Chinese numerology from his uncle. So he believes that he will have 7 great loves in his life. And then he meets Irena in 95. And she's like the best. She's brilliant, charismatic, quick-witted, funny. They fall in love. But the thing is, she's number 6. So if he is to have 7 great loves, does that mean his time with Irena is going to come to an end? So this is a love letter to Western pop culture, Eastern traditions, and being a first-generation New Yorker. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Flatiron Books, publisher of 888 Love and the Divine Burden of Numbers by Abraham Chang, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Bloom Books. Diana Dixon has a busy summer and no time for tall, gorgeous hockey player Shane's shenanigans. Because you know what? If they shenan once, they'll shenan again. So she thinks she knows exactly who he is when he moves into her apartment building. But turns out Shane's sick of hookups and tired of being on the rebound after his long-term girlfriend called it quits. But when his ex comes back into the picture, he needs a plan. And who better to play his new girlfriend than his sassy new neighbor? So a fake relationship might be perfect for Diana's own ex issues, but Diana is used to living by the rules. Will she learn that when it comes to love, rules are meant to be broken? Make sure to check out The Dixon Rule by Elle Kennedy. Elle Kennedy is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author with over a million copies of her books sold. So this is going to be another banger, y'all. Make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Bloom Books for sponsoring this episode.
Okie doke. So before we get into things, wanted to tell you all about very exciting development with TBR. I know that you guys have heard us talk about TBR a ton on this show, but it is finally happening. We're bringing paperbacks. I don't know why I sang that. I'm not a good singer. But if you
I enjoyed it.
Thank you. If you hate carrying around like bulky hardcovers, or you're on a budget, or you just want like more selections for what we can offer, you can now get a paperback subscription from TBR, curated just for you by one of our bibliologists. This is really great for gifting, especially because, as we might have mentioned, the holidays are coming, and it's just, you know, a more affordable version of the hardcover subscription where we will recommend and deliver three paperbacks just for you. So you can get all the details at mytbr.co. That's mytbr.co. And it should be fun.
Yeah, that would make such a good gift, honestly. And I already have a few people in mind who I'm like, you know what? You might get this as a Christmas gift.
Right. I'm glad that, like, I know we've been talking about doing like a paperback model for a while. So it's kind of exciting to see that roll out, because it is fun to fulfill the hardcover orders. But hardcovers are expensive these days. So this is a nice little
in this economy,
middle ground. I know. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And also backlist titles. Right.
Yeah, that's the exciting thing too, is because like I'll be reading surveys and people will be asking for specific things, and I'll think of like the perfect book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it just came out in paperback. So then I can't recommend it. And now with the paperbacks, it's like, you know, the world is your oyster.
Yeah. The world is your oyster through paperbacks.
So the other thing we wanted to touch on real quick is that Publishers Weekly has announced their best YA books of 2023. Which, if I'm being honest, feels a bit early, but here we are.
Just a bit, just a little, just a smidge.
Yeah, so it's a good list. We'll have a link in the show notes, and I'll just list the titles really quick here. American Redux, Blood Debts, The Blood Years, A Door in the Dark, Family Style, From Here, Houses with a Story, Invisible Sun, which I know you've recommended on the show before.
Loved it.
The Isles of the Gods, The King is Dead, Mascots, The Queer Girl is Going to Be Okay, which is another one I think you've mentioned on the show before. Spin, What Stalks Among Us, and Where You See Yourself. So that's really good, I think. Nice roundup of great books. There is something that feels a little absurd about naming the best books of the year when there's still like 2 months left in the year, but it's not a bad list. I am embarrassed to say, though, that I have not read a single book on this list, but I do have The Blood Years on my TBR stack, and I've been wanting to read it. It's by Elena K. Arnold, and it is a YA novel that is heavily inspired by her own grandmother's experiences during World War II. So I think it's going to be kind of heavy, and I've seen a lot of the content warnings for it. And so I haven't picked it up yet because I've been very much in like a rom-com mood, but I do want to read this before the end of the year.
I know we've talked about how we're both mood readers. So I really feel you. If you're in a rom-com mood, that's not the book to read, but I also am looking forward to read it. And yeah, I did read Invisible Sun, and it was one of my favorites of the year so far. And I think the episode I mentioned, The Queer Girl Is Going to Be Okay, is when we did Indies, I think, because it was published by Levine Quirito. I haven't finished that, but I have that somewhere in my pile of books, my pile of books that are getting dangerously high. And Blood Debts, I haven't finished, but I'm super looking forward. All these books look great, like you said. It's a well-rounded list. It's a pretty solid list, like pretty good.
Yeah. And lists like these two always remind me of the fact that, like, you know, you and I, we have a YA podcast. We both read a ton. Like, yeah. We work in the bookish world. And, like, I will have 10 months of reading YA, like, new and backlist releases. And I'll have, like, all these books that I love and enjoy. And then, like, the end of the year comes along and there'll be all these lists. And I'm like, how is it possible that there is like a best of the year list and I've not read a single book on this list? It's just because there's so many great books. So
there's so many books coming out.
Yeah. It's hard to kind of quantify and catch every single one, but there's just a lot of good books and that is not a bad thing.
Not at all.
So yes, definitely check those out if you like end of the year lists. But otherwise, we are going to talk about the items that go into our winter survival kit.
Yes, such fun. Such fun. I have a lot of things. I might not get to all of them. That's okay.
Well, I like how you had the idea to like break it down into categories. Yeah. So we can kind of take it category by category. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, should we start with like the books in our list, considering this is a bookish podcast?
You know, that's not a bad idea. Let's start with the books. Okay. I like that idea.
All right. Go for it, Erica.
Okay. The first one I have is a cookbook. And Ooh. It's not necessarily YA, but it's not, you know? I don't read many cookbooks. But this cover is so cute. And it's about Filipino dessert. It's called Mayu Mu. It's Filipino American Desserts Remixed. Ooh. And exactly, that's what I said when I saw it. I said, ooh. That's my same exact reaction. It's by Abby Balingit. And I haven't read this yet, but it's so cute. It's visually super appealing. And I see the cover has, I'm not familiar with Filipino desserts, but it has this cake looking thing. It has purple. And I'm like, oh, that's probably ube. I've been really interested in trying ube things, which I believe is like a purple sweet potato thing. So I'm like, yo, I'm going to be in the house in my little, you know, robe or whatever. Talk about that later. Slippers. Fuzzy slippers, you know, fuzzy socks, making these Filipino desserts from this book. That's how I feel. That's how I envision my future. The next few months. This is how I see myself. You know what I mean? So I'm excited to get into that. It looks super cute. And I'm like, I know I'm going to like it. Yeah. The cover of the dessert looks so good. I'm like, I don't know what that is. But baby, the way I would inhale that, right? The way I would barely chew that and like ingest it. So I'm excited to get into that.
Yes. A quick aside, if you hear my cat meowing in the background, I'm sorry. He's being very whiny and wanting a lot of attention today. But I know he's fine. he's not neglected or, you know, overfed or anything.
He's just a cat.
He's just being a cat. Yeah. But so I did pull up the cover, and oh my gosh, it looks so good.
Doesn't it look good?
And you talking about ube reminds me, do you watch Great British Bake Off?
I still have not gotten into that show, but you know what? I keep meaning to, and this winter might be, let me put that in my show list. This winter might be it.
Yeah, so Great British Bake Off is like a show that I sort of watched casually before COVID. And then when we were like sheltering in place in 2020, my partner and I just like, we marathoned like every single season that's available on Netflix from like September to January. Ooh, and so for me, the idea of watching Great British Bake Off is very cozy, very fall and wintry type thing. But anywho, the winner of last year, and this isn't like a horrible, awful spoiler because this was from last year's season, Sabira, she was Filipina. And She cooked with like a lot of like traditional Filipino ingredients, and she made some stuff out of ube. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I've never personally had that. And it sounds really great. And so when I saw the cover, I was like, oh, this reminds me of Severa's amazing desserts. So yeah, this looks amazing. Watch Great British Bake Off if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Looks so good.
I just looked her up. She has such a pleasant demeanor. I'm literally judging her by how she looks. But she was like, she has such a, like an adorable presentation. That's an aside.
She's fantastic. And that's, yeah, like, and I swear it's not really a spoiler to be like, oh, she wins if you want to just like dive into the season last year, because this is like a non, like, it, there's a competition, but like these are like the least competitive people ever. Like, they just are on the show and they care so much about baking and they're so supportive of each other. It's really sweet. Like, there's no drama and mayhem. It's just baking and
happiness. I would still watch the season that she was in with you having told me that, just to see what they make. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't ruin anything for me. One more note on ube. If you have a Trader Joe's, they have this ube pancake mix.
Oh.
Ube pancake and waffle mix. I have it. That might get a little winter action. Jen, who does other Book Riot podcasts, recommended it. She said it was good.
Oh, so, yeah. I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to Trader Joe's and try that. Sounds amazing. For sure. Okay. So taking a slight swerve away from baking and all things cozy.
Yes.
The book that I had on my list is a book that's coming out, and it's called Finding My Elf. By David Valdez, and it's a YA book, but it's kind of like in that like YA new adult range, because it's about a guy who has just coming home from his first semester away at college, and he's like not super thrilled about the fact that he has to come home for the holidays, because he's like has this really awkward relationship with his dad. And so to like get out of the house so he's not awkwardly just like spending every day of break with his dad, he gets this job as a elf, and there's like this elf competition to like who can be the the merriest elf, and there's a cash prize, and so he's like, yeah, I could use some money, because you know, broke college student. And he ends up like really falling for another guy who is an elf, and I'm like, this just sounds delightful, sounds
really cute,
and I would like silly. I don't know, I'm like, I would like the Hallmark Christmas movie. I mean, Absolutely. Not that Hallmark Channel would be brave enough to do any queer romances, but yeah. You know, they're just now starting to be like, oh, people of color fall in love during the holidays. I don't have any high hopes about queer people yet.
Yeah.
But it just seems really cute, and I'm excited to read it. It comes out this week. It just came out yesterday. So nice. I'm definitely check it out.
Can I put you on the spot?
Yes.
Real quick, fast. Speaking of Hallmark-esque, because like you said, they don't really do the thing. Hallmark-esque holiday rom-com / romance shows or movies, which queer ones do you like? Do you have any that are like your go-to or that are on your list? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't like any of the sapphic ones that are out there. I know. I did not like the one with Kristen Stewart in Aubrey Plaza, because I did not want the main characters to get together.
Okay.
That's like real. they weren't good people. Like, the one person wasn't a good person, and I was like, why would I want the protagonist to like, you know, I didn't like it for that reason. I'm grateful that it was made. I'm grateful that it was you know, produced, and I hope that it opens the door for more. But like most queer people I know do not like that movie, because they're like, why is this couple together? Why are we rooting for them? And I think that's like, you know, that's a major flaw in a holiday romance or in any romance, is like, if your audience can't get behind why these two people should be together, then like there's no resuscitating that, right? I think there is like a gay holiday rom-com that came out like last year, but I haven't seen it yet, and I'm blanking on the title, so I'd have to like do some quick googling.
Familiar. That's why I was like, I remember hearing about it.
Oh, Single All the Way. That's what it is.
Single All the Way.
And I did watch it.
Okay.
And it was cute. It was cute.
Okay.
And the one I didn't like is Happiest Season. It was not very happy, in my opinion.
Unhappiest Season.
Right.
Name it. Change the title. Happiest Season. Okay, I see it.
But that said, like, there's a lot of, like, queer holiday rom-com. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's probably some out there that, like, I haven't seen. Like, I just did, like, a quick Google search. And it looks like that there are some that are, like, very low budget and cheesy. But, like, I don't care about that when it comes to, like, you know, I don't watch holiday movies for the production value. I watch it for the feels.
For the feels.
Feels,
yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have to check them out some more. But yeah, same. I feel like those are my hot takes about Single All the Way, which I liked. I had some issues with. It wasn't my favorite because, again, I feel like the love interests, they were not very nice to. And then
Single All the Way as well?
There was one, I didn't think that they always treated one of the love interests in Single All the Way very well. But that might just be my personal opinion.
No, it's valid.
I know. Happiest Season just sucked. But what's ironic about both of these books, or both of these movies, excuse me, is that there are characters in there that, like, are writers or, like, published writers or whatnot. And, like, one of the love interests in Single All the Way, if I'm remembering correctly, is a children's book author.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
So I think that's kind of funny. So, like, that's to bring this back to, like, bookish things. But yeah, there's just, unfortunately, not, in my opinion, a lot of great queer holiday rom-coms yet.
That's partially why I asked, because I was like, give me some new things to add to my, if you know of any. I'm watching a little bit of this trailer. Single All the Way looks cute, but then I'm also like, how do you make unlikable, like, romantic or rom-com leading characters? Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, and in so Let It Snow, which is a movie adaptation of a book that that book came out ages ago, and that it's co-written by Maureen Johnson, John Green, and Lauren Miracle. Okay. And then, the movie adaptation came out in 2019, and it's on Netflix. There is a little sapphic relationship in Let It Snow, but it's not, like, the central one. It's kind of like it's a huge, large cast movie with, like, a bunch of people. Yeah, it's an ensemble cast where everybody's doing something different on the holidays. But there is a little sapphic romance in there. So that was kind of nice to get that. But
okay, thank you for indulging me. So I can list a couple other books. I'll just run down the list and then maybe we'll go to... Did you have another book you wanted to mention?
Yeah, I'm excited. This one came out last year, but I haven't read it yet. So it's on my TBR for this holiday season. Eight Nights of Flirting by Hannah Reynolds. And it is a Hanukkah romance. It looks cute. It's about a girl who makes a deal with this guy to kind of, like, help her learn how to flirt because she wants to flirt with her family business's new intern. And then instead they, like, end up falling for each other over the Nights of Hanukkah. It looks cute. I don't know. It looks adorable. So I've got to have that on my TBR for this upcoming holiday season.
That sounds super cute. I might also add that myself. Although I have so many things. I'm not even sure if I'm gonna get to all the stuff I have. I'm going to run down the list of what's in my book list, and then we can move on to a different category. I received, I think I shared this with you in Slack or something some weeks ago, a coloring book. It's titled Coloring Cuteness by Claire Benton. And I know coloring books were, like, a thing more so, like, a couple years ago, but I was just like, let me try this. Someone offered to send me, you know, like, an early release of it. And I was like, you know what? It has Pusheen. Are you familiar with Pusheen character, the cat?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was like, if there's anyone who's familiar, I'm pretty sure it's Tirza. So we have that in common. So my cat is also a little gray tabby. So I was like, ooh, it's like her. But yeah, it's super cute. And I got into it. At first it was kind of like, I hadn't colored in years. And so I got some, like, color pencils or whatever. And it's really kind of like soothing, especially like I think it's cool to listen to audiobooks while using it. So that's cute. Also, Jujutsu Kaisen by Gege Akutami, which is decidedly not very cozy. But I think that because season two of the show just released, after I finish that, I'm going to want to read more of the manga. So I'm probably going to be like deep into that. Also, there's a romanticy that just dropped like this week, and it is titled What the River Knows by Isabel Ibanez. And it is about this girl, Inez, who's she's grows up in this like very privileged, like privileged society in 19th century Buenos Aires. And her parents disappear. Well, they're said to have died, but there's some like, seems like there's some murkiness surrounding that. And she inherits their massive fortune, but she also gets this guardian, and he has like ties to Egypt, and he's an archaeologist. So she travels to Cairo to find out more about what happened to her parents. And there's like magic, there's like ancient magic and all this like really cool, interesting stuff going on. I like for winter, I like to hunker down and like really just like read all day or do whatever I'm doing all day, like play games or whatever. It kind of takes me back to when I was a kid and I would like read fantasy books all day because I wasn't an adult. I didn't have adult responsibilities. And I'm like, I feel like I could really get lost into this book. So those are books I'm excited to read for this season.
Amazing. Yeah, that's a lot of good stuff. I also like to like curate little TBRs and thinking about like, oh, what sort of thing will I be in the mood for?
Exactly.
I know we just kind of talked a little bit about the lack of good queer holiday romances on the big screen or the small screen. But I do want to do a shout out to, I think is like an underappreciated TV show for the holidays. I really enjoyed. It's based off of the YA book Dash and Lily's Book of Dares by David Levithan and Rachel Cohn. Nice. So the TV show is just Dash and Lily, and it is really cute TV show that is about Dash, who's like this really cynical guy, and then Lily, who's like, you know, wants everything to be perfect and bright and shiny. And they encounter each other in the Strand, which is, if you don't know, a fantastic bookstore in New York City.
Yes, I loved it.
Yes. And then they start like trading this like notebook of dares to like embrace the holiday season. And they also don't always know, like they at the beginning, they don't know who each other is because they are passing this notebook back and forth. And so it's really fun because it's like they're falling for each other, but they also don't like know really who they're talking to. And there's, you know, a really large cast and a lot of fun antics. And it's just so good. Like I liked the books. I read the books when they came out. I think there are three books in the series now. But I watched the first show or first season of the show. And unfortunately I think they opted not to continue with more seasons, but the first season, it's pretty self-contained. So you can watch it and still, I think, feel pretty content. But it's so charming and bookish and lovely. And it was just a really fun thing to watch over the holidays. And it came out in 2020. So, I mean, this was when we were all at home and not really doing much. And I remember watching it and just being like, oh, this is what I needed. So yeah. I still enjoy rewatching it. It's great. So definitely check out Dash and Lily on Netflix if you haven't already.
That sounds super cute and it looks good. I looked it up while you were speaking and it looks like perfectly wintry. So I'm going to add that to my huge list of things I want to do this season. Jeez. But yes, before we get into more, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Greenleaf Book Group. No summer vacation should be without a great read, and I don't know about you, but I am partial to mysteries and thrillers for my
hot month reads. It's Hot Girl Reading Summer, always over here. And from the award-winning librettist of Legally Blonde, the musical, and the screenwriter of Freaky Friday, Heather Hawke, comes the page-turning psychological thriller, The Trouble with Drowning. So when author Eden Hart floats into Tucson's Antigone Books in all her dazzling perfection to give a reading, Kat, a struggling writer, can't help but compare herself. Thankfully, Kat's life starts to take on its own Eden-like glow when her literary future takes shape and she falls madly in love with Jacob. As demons from her past begin to surface, Kat's mental health craters, and this halcyon dream slips through her fingers. For the fastest-paced, slow burn you won't be able to put down, be sure to check out The Trouble with Drowning by Heather Hawke on Amazon or your retailer of choice. And thanks again to Greenleaf Book Group for sponsoring this episode. Okay, so I kind of grouped movies and shows together. And yeah, so I'm going to just list the ones I have. We'll run through my list. Every year, I like to watch in preparation, like to get into the Christmassy mood, I like to watch Home Alone 1 and 2. Listen, especially Home Alone 2 because it's in New York City. And I love New York City in the winter / Christmassy / holiday time. Although walking around when I used to live there during that time was trying, but I love that. And the big Christmas tree we would go see. So yeah, it's a good time. That's like a tradition of mine. And as far as shows go, so again, Jujutsu Kaisen season 2, it's really more... The second season of Jujutsu Kaisen has this really amazing animation, really great fight scenes. I love the story already, so there's that. It has such cool characters, and the female characters are amazing. And it's kind of unpredictable. So anyway, the vibe is really more of a layover from Halloween, but the show is still coming out, so I'm going to finish watching the current season, and I might rewatch it. So there's that. Movie-wise... Enola Holmes 2 is very like cozy for me. Like I like British mystery, cozy mysteries. Those are very like, yeah, I saw the first one when it first came out, which I think was like 2020 or 2021. I forgot. But the second one is out. It looks cute. And I need to watch that. I've been meaning to watch that. Also,
I haven't watched the second one yet. Yeah.
You saw the first one. You liked it.
I saw the first one and I liked it. I haven't watched the second one yet, but I need to.
Yeah, exactly. Super cute. There's also this movie called Klaus that I watched last year. And it was kind of a different take on like Santa Claus. And it's like a 3D animation. It was really good. Oh. Really good. Yeah, it's pretty good. And I might get into the Great British Bake Off now. So those are my movies and shows that I am indulging in this winter season.
Yes, Great British Bake Off. Yes. Amazing.
Yes.
I have not seen Klaus, but
you should. It's so
I've heard
good.
It's good. Yeah.
It's good.
So and good. I also do love, you know, Holmes first one. So I need to watch number 2. Thank you for reminding me that it exists. Yes. And of course, Home Alone. Like I haven't seen Home Alone in a while, but I do like it. I, you know, it's like one of those nostalgic movies for me too.
Yeah, I indulge every year, and every year I'm just like, I don't know, maybe there will come a time when I'm like, you know what, I'm good on Home Alone, but it's not this year.
But not yet.
Not yet.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked a lot of media. Let's talk like cozy things, self-care things. What do you like?
All right, so like I said, ashiness is the enemy. It's the enemy year round, but it gets more power in the winter. Okay, it becomes emboldened, and so you know you gotta combat it. So I feel like I have tough like skin, like body skin. So scrubs and things like my skin laughs like, oh, you tried it, girl. But one scrub that I like, that I really like, it's pretty. You know, I think it's pretty easily obtained. I get it from Target. I'm going to see if we can do a link to Amazon where you can buy it, or I'll just link to Target. I don't know. I'll see. But it's called Tree Hut Moroccan Rose Shea Sugar Body Scrub. It's a long name. Ooh. I know. It's the Tree Hut brand. I chose this particular scent just because I like this scent compared to other ones. But it's nitty gritty. Okay. she gets in there and she does what she scrubs you. She does what she needs. She understands the assignment, Miss Moroccan Rose. Okay. So she doesn't play around. So I love that. I think I have two right now, but because just like when there's sales, I stock up. And after you scrub the topmost layer of your skin off, don't really do that. I'm exaggerating. But after you get that top layer of epidermis off, then you have to moisturize. And I've always known about shea butter. Like a lot of products have shea butter in the ingredients list that I use, like the moisturizing products that I use. But I just recently started using shea butter again, just raw shea butter. Mm. And then I remembered why I didn't use it before when I would try to use it. It's because it like fights you back. It's like cold peanut butter. If you think of peanut butter in a freezer, it's like, yo. So what you do is you get whipped shea butter, and that is much better. Yes, much butter.
Much butter.
So I have started getting fair trade whipped shea butter, and I emphasize on making sure that the brand pays the workers because it's from West Africa, Ghana usually, and exploitation and all that stuff is a real thing. So I make sure the brand like fairly compensates its workers. But there's one, I got this from Amazon, and I think it's Black owned, small business. It's called Mother's Shea by Eugenia. And it's in this cute little, this is like actually kind of giftable. It's in this cute little square tin, and it has kind of like that old style of like, the Victorian style of art where they draw, how they used to draw like herbs and plants and stuff. So it's a very, if that makes sense.
It looks really cute.
You looked it up already?
I looked it up already.
Got them Twitter fingers, tears up, and things going fast.
Oh my gosh. And there's
So when you get out of the shower, after you have your meeting with Miss Moroccan Rose, the scrub, you get her, you rinse her off, you dry down, put this all over your body, and tell me, it takes a minute to absorb. You be walking around like, dang, I just smeared some butter all over my body. Feels weird. But it's so much, I don't know. It works better than any lotion or whatever. It's in a good, like what you call, I think, occlusive. I sometimes get deep into the skincare stuff. And occlusives, I don't know if you're familiar, but it's like, you put your regular moisturizer on and then you put something thick on to keep it in. This is like a great occlusive, and it absorbs, and it actually just like softens my skin so much. I love whipped shea butter.
Oh my gosh. Do you get like fragrance free? Do you try the fragrances?
This one, I got the vanilla scented. Because it seemed like, and it does kind of smell like Play-Doh a little bit. I don't care about the smell. Because I wanted something as close to like neutrally scented as possible. Kind of like what you're saying. Like, I don't like a lot of fragrance. And the fragrance in this does not offend me. And I think it's like the last ingredient, meaning it's the least present. And it's like, I'm looking at it right now. It's like the last. It also has shea oil, apricot oil, sunflower oil, and vanilla fragrance. It's literally like five ingredients.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'll have to check this out because I do get horribly dry skin in the winter, to the point where like I'm slathering on like Aquaphor on my hands before bed. So
try. Yeah, definitely like exfoliate whatever level you're comfortable with. And then while your skin is like still a little damp, at night, put on some shea butter and see if that doesn't. I feel like if you're putting Aquaphor is kind of Vaseline-y.
Yes,
it is. I feel like this works better than Vaseline, in my opinion. Like,
okay,
yeah, definitely
shea butter. Okay, thank you for the recommendation. I love it.
My shea butter TED Talk. You're welcome.
Yes, I'm like, we need to do an episode just on skincare, but maybe not for Hey YA.
Maybe not, but like our own little private thing. Absolutely.
Right.
I'm looking up I've literally created skincare regimens for friends and like sent them. Like that'll be their like holiday gift or birthday gift. I'm like, okay, what's your skin type?
Perfect.
So I got you.
Perfect. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yes.
So I'm excited about that. You have me looking at my online cart thinking about adding some shea butter to my list already. Yeah. And I also, in the past, I've gotten like the Lush massage bars because they're like a bar of soap, but they're like massage oil and they're like very moisturizing. And so sometimes I will like put that like on my legs before I go to bed just because, yeah, I get so dry and I feel like it's constantly, you know, moisturizing and all that fun stuff. So
I don't think I've tried that one. I haven't tried Lush in a while because I'm not buy one and they don't have free shipping.
I live sort of near one, so I will occasionally go in there. And I don't love all the stuff that they put out, but the massage bars are pretty good. So if you get the chance, I recommend.
I'll put that on my list for sure.
Yes. For other sort of cozy, like self-care things, like we were just talking about Target. Like, okay, I swear to you, this episode's not sponsored by Target, but
it's not. But Target is kind of. But great,
it could be. Target could sponsor us. We'd be fine with that. Yeah. Target has like all the things you need because they have all this good, fun, cozy stuff, and then you can go hit up the book section. But
exactly.
I actually really love. I think the brand is like it's Target's brand, but it's called Opal House, and they have really great candles that I think smell really awesome, and they usually have like seasonal and holiday themed ones. So right now I'm actually still burning my Halloween fall one because it's only November, guys, but it's like a bourbon pumpkin. But I have this Christmas cheer one. And what do you ask is in the Christmas cheer? I have no idea. It just smells like Christmas. It's infused with essential oils. Yeah. But what I love about them is like you can get these little candles and they're only like $5.
They're really nice.
Which is very affordable because candles can be really expensive. Mm-hmm. But also when like you're talking about like the seasonal stuff, sometimes like I don't need a giant candle that's going to last me 3 months. Like I just want a little candle that I can burn during, you know, Christmas season or Halloween season. So I definitely like those and I think the price is right. So highly recommend those.
I want to say my favorite Opal House scent is Cozy Nights. I'm going to put a link.
Ooh.
I put the link for the Shea Butter.
And like sometimes it annoys me because I'm like, that does not tell me anything about what it smells like. So it's not like you can buy these online. Like you have to go into a Target.
Yeah.
And you have to find an end cap with all the candles and you have to stand there and you have to sniff them all.
You gotta sniff them.
But that's part of the fun. Yeah. So
it's a fun thing to do.
Yeah. My Christmas cheer one, I'm sniffing it right now. It's kind of cinnamony, a bit of clove. I'm getting like some orange as well. So yeah. It's good stuff.
I have one by Frostbeard Studio, which they did a sponsorship thing with us. And so I got free candles and I'm like, I actually would buy these. I have the bookstore one, which it actually really smells like a bookstore. It's bright orange and it has mahogany leather and coffee smell. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, it smells like how much cozier can you get?
Right. Oh, that sounds amazing. My other cozy sort of self-care recommendation is that last winter I got a heated blanket, and I know that seems really obvious, but I was like, oh, heated blanket.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's amazing. Yeah. I got mine for free because I did a very adult thing and I opened up a new checking account at a new bank and they were like, congratulations, you can now get a free heated blanket. And I was like, well, this is kind of funny, but okay.
That is such a random I was like waiting. I was like, this is going to make sense in the end. And it didn't
really. I got my free blanket because I opened up a checking account and I was like, okay, cool. But I've never thought to buy a heated blanket before because I'm like, I've got a regular blanket. It does just fine. But really when it's like the middle of winter and you're just like sitting down, it's so nice to be able to just get a little heat. And it warms you right up, and it also brings all the cats to my lap. So
I was just about to say, I can picture you with a heated blanket and like a trail of cats littered across your body. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
That's a they give like no whatevers about me, but it's all about the heated blanket.
Oh, of course.
And obviously. I just happen to be under the heated blanket, so they're like, "Yeah, this is fine."
If they even register your existence under the blanket at all.
Yeah. They're like, there is no human. There is only heated blanket.
There is only hail the heated blanket.
Oh my gosh. So if you get one, I highly recommend it. It like really ups your game for like if you just want to sit down and get cozy. It's awesome.
That sounds amazing. Let's keep going. Let's hear from our sponsor one more time real quick. So what else? All right. So, oh, food. Let's talk about food. Yes, yeah. We do. I discovered, I was not planning. I thought this was going to like, sometimes the store brands are hit or miss. I was in Whole Foods for some reason, trying to spend my whole paycheck, as it were. I saw the Whole Foods brand. I think it's like Whole Foods 360, something, whatever it's called. Their store brand. It's like organic hot chocolate mix. And it all you need is water. Like, you know, you heat up water. I have an electric kettle. Heat up however much you want. And usually I'm skeptical. I'm like, you need some milk in that. Giving me this water-based hot chocolate. How dare you? But it actually tastes better without milk. Like, it tastes really good. Oh. It doesn't have the little marshmallows in there like I like the kid in me likes. But I bought those separately. I love those little things. But even without that, it's really actually really, really good. So, and it's pretty affordable. I think it was like $4, maybe $5 for a container.
It's not bad at all.
I really like it. I got at least two canisters in my cupboard right now. I love it. Another thing that I just recently came across, I have not tried this yet. So, okay. I was in Trader Joe's the other day, getting groceries, whatever. And something possessed me to ask my cashier, the person checking me out, what her favorite snacks were. Because I'm going to go on a little, like, retreat in a few days. And I was like, I need to up my snack game, yo. Like, and Trader Joe's has so many different options. And I've tried some stuff from Trader Joe's that was nasty before. And I was like, I'm not about to go down this road. So I was like, maybe she has a couple recommendations. Tell me why this lady, she was like, oh, you want some snacks? I said, yes, please. She said, oh, I got you. She left her register, turned it off. And she was like, you want to walk to the back with me? I said, I do. And so she gave me a snack tour, bro. She literally took me to different departments. And she was like, ooh, come. So this was a few days ago. She was like, ooh, come back November 1st. That's when we get the cannoli dip spread. I said, the what? She said, you like cannolis? I said, of course I do. She was like, we got a cannoli dip spread. What you do is you put it with these waffle cookies. She was giving me combinations. I said, oh, you get nasty with it. And she was like, yeah. I was like, I called them. She was like, you can call and we'll hold some for you on the side.
Oh my God.
I called them today. I have an appointment today. I'm not kidding. After this, to go get my cannoli dip spread. Don't play with me.
Oh my gosh.
I am getting my cannoli. She said it was like, it went viral on TikTok or whatever, and they'll be out of, and I'm like, I really, really love, I like dessert. Earlier, Filipino dessert, hello? I love Italian dessert. I love dessert. I love cannolis. I don't get enough cannolis. That's what I think. I think I need more cannoli in my life. She told me about the waffle cookies. I had already gotten the cookies because I was like, well, let me go. I'm going to buy these anyway. Might as well buy them now. Because I had already checked out with her, like my little groceries or whatever. I had to go back in line with like $20 more worth of the stuff she told me. She also told me about these Thanksgiving flavored kettle chips, which sound ridiculous. I already ate all of them.
Oh my God.
I already ate the whole bag. It's dangerous. The waffle cookies are delicious, and I'm going to get my cannoli dip spread, and no one can stop me. Cheers.
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. This is why we're friends.
This is the best story, and that Trader Joe's employee deserves employee of the year.
I was gonna ask to speak to the manager to be like, yo, she told me about other stuff. I'm just like, you know, how much time do we have in this episode? You know what I mean? I'm just trying to be considerate of y'all's time. But I'm like, I can't even tell the manager. I gotta write her like a letter and send it to corporate.
Yeah, yeah.
She took care of me. She get you see Katrina, shout out to you, Katrina.
Yay, Katrina. You're awesome. I love you, Katrina, even though I live far away. Yes. Well, I live in a small town, so we don't have Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, but there is both a Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, like, in the same neighborhood of, like, the indie bookstore that I go to, like, usually once a month, and it's about 45 minutes away from me. So I usually, when I'm there, I'm always like, you know what, Tirza, let's be real. You're already going to spend all of your money at the bookstore. Like, don't go to any other stores. So I haven't gone into Trader Joe's or Whole Foods in a while, but now you've convinced me for these like four things. So
at least just get the, tell me how you feel about them. I haven't tried the cannoli spread, but everything. Oh, she also recommended this honey goat cheese.
Oh,
I'm gonna send you the list here. I know we don't. This is the list. Yo, she gave me these like crisp slash cracker things. It's like fig and olive incorporated into them. And she's like, yo, spread the goat cheese on these. And I was like, oh my god, it's a honey. I forgot what the. I'm not well versed in goat cheese. I'm also kind of funky with goat cheese. Sometimes I really like it. Sometimes I really don't like it. And she was like, have you tried this honey one? And I was like, I'm open to it. Gosh. It's really good, Tirza. I will give you the best. And I spread it on the crackers. Yeah, I had that for lunch today. What do you, like, come on. Like, Katrina, so much- I'm like, I'm going to have to just find out when she works.
Yeah,
you will. I'm not stalking you.
I just appreciate your snack styling.
She took me to different departments, Tirza, in the store. And she was giving me combinations. I said, this woman is, I don't even know.
She's a genius.
Like, combinations, bro? I was expecting, oh, have you tried the chips? That's what I was expecting. See, that's why the ancestors were speaking. They were like, ask her, ask that one. Yes. They were like, ask her. And I did. God. You got to listen. Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to share with you next time you're in the town. It like, you know, when you make your trip. You got it. And then report back to me.
I will. I will definitely do that. I feel like in comparison, my food recommendations are going to just be a little bit sad. But
No, they're not. I like some Ghirardelli. I'm looking at you.
Yeah. Right. No, so my favorite thing is the Ghirardelli peppermint bark. Like every year I have to get an obscene amount. And you can get it in both milk chocolate and dark chocolate. I like both, but I do love the dark chocolate. So
You have a sophisticated palate. I mean, like, get the milk chocolate, please.
I do like dark chocolate, but my partner doesn't, so I usually get both, and then, you know, we both just eat it like heathens because it's so good.
Obviously. You'd have to.
Obviously. So I was going to talk a little bit about my complicated winter drink, because I think I've mentioned on this podcast before that earlier this year I had to give up caffeine.
Yeah.
Which is like the saddest thing for me. I'm all coping.
Right,
yeah. Yeah. It was hard. Like it was like kind of hard at first, and then it was fine and I didn't really miss it. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But it's becoming hard again as like the seasons are growing colder. And like, you know, I walk into a Starbucks and I can't drink any of the pumpkin spice stuff because it's all caffeinated. And like, I can't even do decaf coffee because decaf coffee still has caffeine. Like I'm like a no caffeine whatsoever type of person. Otherwise it just makes me really, really sick. So, I have had to get creative with like, okay, what can I do out of herbal drinks and like stuff that doesn't have caffeine. And, for the holiday, if like the fall season, I did find a really great rooibos tea. Ooh. From, August Uncommon, which is this tea company based out of LA. And the tea is called Psycho Candy, and it is a pumpkin caramel rooibos tea. And if you brew it really strong and then you put like a dash of like pumpkin spice or vanilla creamer in it, it Ooh. Tastes like a pumpkin spice latte, but like a little lighter because it's tea. So that has been like my go-to situation for like all my pumpkin spice longings this fall. Especially because, like, you want something hot, right? And, like, I've been able to, like, Culver's and Wendy's both have, like, a, like, ice cream, like, pumpkin spice, like, Frosty or Blizzard.
A pumpkin spice? Oh, I'm a
pumpkin spice Frosty. And it's not that bad. What? It's really not bad.
I'm making
so,
a
Yeah. So I did have those a couple of times this season, but like it's still not the same thing as like a nice hot, like kind of
you
cold
need a
day.
Hot one.
You want a hot drink, right? Hot one, so yeah. I definitely recommend the August Uncommon tea brand. There the tea is Psycho Candy. And then I just am looking at placing an order because they have a tea called Silent Night. Ooh. And it is another rooibos tea that is got like some chocolate and some cinnamon in it. And they say if you add like creamer or milk, it tastes kind of like eggnog. Now, I don't like eggnog, but I think that tea combination with like some milk would be really good. So I have to shout out the company Sips By. It's like S-I-P-S-B-Y, because they are a really great way to, like, if you are looking for tea and you're like, you have like very specific desires, or you're not sure exactly what you like, or you have different like flavor profiles that you like or don't like, you can take like this tea quiz and it like matches you with tea. And then like, if you pay money, they'll send you like tea samples, but also like they'll be like, based off of your flavor profile, like these are the teas that like we recommend. And then you can buy tea directly from them. But like, that's a really great way for me to find tea, because there's just so many tea options out there. Yeah. And sometimes like just the idea of like having to go through, because like it's hard to find caffeine free, or like, you know, making sure that you're only searching by like rooibos or herbal or whatever. So I can do that and I can limit my search, and then I can be like, okay, you know, that's a way for me to see like a bunch of tea options from like a bunch of different places. And the final thing I'll say about that is they do have like a winter tea shop, so then I can like search by like non-caffeine. So I have a few that I want to try, because I need like a good Christmas sort of holiday drink of the season. And that is my complicated herbal tea situation. So
I appreciated your story. I like how we both had food stories.
I think we both feel very passionately about food. So
very passionate. We have feelings around this. Okay, I was about to ask you if you found out about that rooibos tea through Sips By, because I was like, I remember like when they sent us samples to talk about. Yeah, I had another one that was pretty good. It was like an iced one, but I don't remember. I don't remember the name of it. But that does sound really good, though.
Yeah, and like full disclosure, Sips By has been a like a advertiser and a sponsor of the show before, and so I did get some Sips By boxes from them, and I'm pretty sure the Psycho Candy was a result of like one of those boxes one time, and I was like, oh, and it's like my favorite thing that I've ever gotten from any of the boxes. So like so much so that like, and now I go and I buy it on the regular. I'm like, and I buy like the giant tin of it.
Just like, just stock up.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay. So our last category was games. Really quick, what are some of the games that you like to play and have fun with this time of year?
I can't say it quickly, Teresa. You see my list? All right. I'm going to try. All right. So there was one I mentioned before that was like Shakespeare based and kind of silly and fun. And that's called This Way Madness Lies. There's also a kind of Studio Ghibli / Miyazaki type game that I bought. I have not played it yet, but it looks so good. Yeah, I just got it. Battleship Brigade Deluxe Edition. I don't know if you got to get the Deluxe Edition. I don't remember what's up with that. But then there's also Mika and the Witch's Mountain, which is supposed to be basically, it doesn't look like Studio Ghibli, but just the story is very similar to Kiki's Delivery Service, where you're like this young witch flying around on her broom, delivering things to people. It looks super cute. It's still not out yet, though, but it's supposed to be out this winter. We'll see. Then I also bought, and I've played this a little bit already, this is for older teens, like 17 plus, so keep that in mind. The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood, which is where you are this witch who was exiled from her coven, and you get tired of, you've been in isolation for like 200 years. You're like out in space, basically in a little house. And so you summon this like cosmic creature that like has existed before time or something. You make a deal with them to come back to the world of your sisters in the coven. And it's really interesting gameplay. The graphics look really cool. And you make your own tarot card in it. All of these games are basically like cozy or cozy adjacent. And it's a cozy game. It's very interesting and creative. Then more cozy, witchy-esque game. I bought this last year, actually. It's called Strange Horticulture. And you like have to identify plants. People come in asking for tinctures and different things. And so you have to look at your book and pick which plants to give them. And there's like a witchy part of the story as well. Then there's Cat Tales, Wildwood Stories. This is where you play as a cat.
Yeah, you told me about this one.
Yeah, I haven't bought it or played it, but I just want to mention it because it's another cozy one. And it's like, come on. I'm like, yeah, that's our thing. Last, I wanted to mention this because it's kind of bookish. It's called Stray Gods. And it's like a musical. It's also like a noir mystery, but it's modern. It's like, I think it's based in a nightclub, if I'm not mistaken, but it's like kind of based on Greek mythology.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Awesome. Okay. For me, real quick, for me, winter is when I always start a new farm on Stardew Valley.
Nice.
I
have
like seven farms going. This is ridiculous. But I like the idea of like starting something, and starting is always fun, and you get to like kind of play it up and, you know, do different farms and have different characters and romance different townspeople. So I always like, if you've not done Stardew Valley, it's the ultimate cozy game. Mm-hmm. And I always start a new farm in the winter, just usually over Christmas break when my partner's home and we are just hanging out. And then for board games, Tab and I have really gotten into like cooperative board games because we're only two people. And so sometimes we're like, all right, what can we do? We can't really compete against each other, but we can do cooperative things. And there's a really great Nancy Drew board game called Mystery at Magnolia Gardens. And it's like one of those like murder mystery in a box games. I would say the pieces are really high quality. They're fantastic. And it's a fun mystery, and you are going, and you know, you can probably do it on your own, but like, it's kind of fun to do it with another person, and you're like taking all these clues and putting them together to solve a mystery. And it's been really fun. It was like a little hard, or maybe I was just tired because I was like, I don't get it. We need to like pack this up and we'll come back to this at a different time. But it's really fun to do, especially if you have like a large group of people.
That sounds really cute.
And then the final game that I wanted to recommend is another board game called Horrified, which is based off of like all these literary monsters. And it is another cooperative one. I think you need at least two people, but it's really fun if you have like 3 to 5 people. And the idea is that you have this game board, and it looks like a classic like murder mystery or classic horror novel type game board with like, you know, all these settings, and you have characters that can do different things, and there's usually at least two monsters on the board, and you're working together as a team to try to like defeat the monsters. But it's really a fun game. So I highly recommend Horrified. And there's a couple of spinoffs too. I think there's like Horrified, like American Monsters, and then Horrified, like Greek Monsters. Ooh, so I've played all three of them. Nice. They're really fun. Nice. So yeah, that's what I've got.
Ooh, this is like between you and me, if I do all the things I'm interested in, I'm not leaving the house this season, so.
Not a bad thing, though.
I'm saying it's already cold. Isn't it only going to get colder? Isn't that logical?
Just stay inside. Stay cozy.
Inside. Yeah.
We hope that you've enjoyed our list of recommendations and books and all sorts of fun stuff. And if nothing else, like maybe this will be inspiration for some holiday gifting and planning for this season. But thank you so much for tuning in. You can always leave us feedback on the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you can always drop us a line at heyya@bookriot.com. Don't forget to visit bookriot.com for newsletters, more podcasts, and all things bookish, and mytbr.co for our new paperback subscription. And thank you to today's sponsors for making the show possible. And a final thank you to our audio editor, Caitlin Brahm, for making us sound great. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Tears of Price. What about you, Erica?
I'm at Twitter at @Erica_EZE_.
Awesome. Well, we will be back in 2 weeks where we'll be talking about more fun holiday stuff. But until then, happy reading.
Happy reading.